Bears, how we doing? Come on, guys. Happy first day of class. It is so good to see you. I hope you had a great summer. Man, my name is Miles Zielinski. I am the executive director here at Vertical Ministries, and it is a privilege and a joy to get to be with you tonight, because tonight we are magnifying the name that is above every name, the name alone that is worthy and deserving of praise. That name is Jesus. And it's fun to gather and to open up God's word and to learn more about this God and this King who loves us. I remember when I was a freshman on Baylor's campus back in 2014. That's almost 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago now. And I don't know about you, but this week, welcome week, this first week of class is like crazy. Like, they're already giving you homework, and like, you're trying to figure out a syllabus. You're like, am I supposed to do what's on this day, like right now, or is that for tomorrow? Like, there's so much going on, and then there's all these events, and everyone's giving you a free t-shirt, and then next week, they're going to ask you if you want to sign back up to live in your dorm. And you're like, what the heck? I literally just got here. Like, I haven't even taken a test. What is going on? Well, some of you are probably having like a crazy great time, because like, a lot of people have probably told you, man, college is the best 4 years of your life, and you are living it up and soaking it up. Well, I was told a ton by everybody. My aunts, my mom, my cousins, everybody told me that college is the best 4 years of your life. So I come in very excited, and I came very quickly to become disappointed. So here's a picture of scrubby freshman Miles. Thank you, guys. Guys, I don't know what is the worst part about this picture. I don't know if it's the yellow shorts. I mean, I bleed green and gold, okay, people? I will fling it far. Here we go. So the yellow shorts, that's killing me. The Indianapolis Colts, let's go. That was a questionable call. I don't know if it's the shoes or really truly what it is for me. I'm like, man, as a freshman, I had no idea. This is literally my first time on campus. I had no idea where to take a picture. I'm like, man, in front of Waco Hall, on Judge Baylor's lap, McLean Stadium, in front of Pat Neff. You know where I decided to take a picture? You know that sign? That's right in front of Common Grounds. I was like, you know what? This sounds like a good spot. So I just took a picture, snapped it right there. My dad sent it to me later, and I was like, you know what? That's my new profile picture on Twitter, which now is X or something. But yeah, that's freshman Scrubby Miles, who came in really excited for his freshman year, obviously. Learned how to do a sic-em that day. Put it on your knee, put it on your shoulder. There you go. And I didn't have a moving experience like you guys. You see, most of you got swarmed by like a bunch of people. Your car was emptied in 30 seconds. My parents bought me a plane ticket. They said, see you at Christmas. And I had a backpack and a suitcase. And I stroll up late to move in. No one's there to move me in. And I just move in. And I was like, that's normal, right? Well, then, not only that, that was my moving experience. Welcome to Baylor. I had one friend my first semester. And every single day of my freshman year, for the first semester, I was like, I can't wait to go back home. I can't wait to go back to Connecticut. I can't wait for Christmas. Like, I just want to go home. I get home and my girlfriend breaks up with me. So I'm like, if this is the best 4 years of my life is over. Like, this is the worst 4 years of my life. And if there's anything going on, if this is the trajectory that my life is supposed to be heading, I want off. Like, I'm dropping out. I'm not going back to Waco. This is miserable. And the reason I tell you that story, and the reason I start there tonight, is because we are in a series to start this year called The Best 4 Years. And people will tell you that this is the best 4 years of your life. And honestly, that's a really sad statement. If these are the best 4 years you've got, then the rest of your life means nothing. And you see, we don't believe that to be the case. But we do believe, by opening up God's word, with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, these truly can be some of the best 4 years you ever experience. So we're going to look at God's word, and we're going to be looking at four different things over the next course of the next 4 weeks. We're going to be looking at your purpose, your place, your people, and your passions. And that's where we're going, because if you can get your heart around biblical truth in these four areas, you, I can promise you, can confidently leave this place. You can walk across the stage at the Farrell Center and shake President Livingstone's hand, get a diploma, and you can look back on your college years with more joy and less scars. You can look back on these years with fond memories, with joy, not sadness. we truly believe what God has to say in his inspired divine book, the Bible. So tonight we're talking about purpose. And the way I'm defining purpose tonight is that you were made to know God and to make him known. Like you were created to know God and to make him known. That is your purpose. In the next 30 minutes, I'm gonna hopefully explain that to you and unpack that out of Genesis chapter 1. You see, because we need to know this. We need to know that your purpose, our purpose is to know God and to make him known because your college years matter. That I truly believe that your college years will determine, not might determine, could determine. I truly believe that they will determine the type of husband, father, mother, wife, discipler you will be for the rest of your life. If you want to know what 30-year-old you is doing right now, he or she is doing what 18, 19, 20-year-old you is doing right now. So the habits you form today, the decisions you make right now, they have a lasting impact on your life. So we need to know that our purpose is to know God and to make him known. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Praise God, our God is not a God of confusion, and he takes 2 pages to get to your purpose. Genesis is the first book of your Bible, and he doesn't waste a minute to tell you why you were created and why he created you. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. So out of that one passage, we're going to see 3 points tonight. We're going to see your purpose to know God, your purpose to reflect God, and your purpose to glorify God. Let's dive right in. Point number one, your purpose to know God. In Genesis 1, God creates you, but before we get to verse 27, we have to give you a little bit of context on the first 26 verses of chapter 1. Right, so God, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, for the earth was formless and void. The Hebrew words vohu and bohu, that is what formless and void means. That means it had no structure and it was completely empty. God actually creates everything out of nothing. So vohu and bohu, God creates emptiness he creates space and gives it structure out of nothing. So in the first 3 days, God is going to begin to form the earth. And then in the next 3 days, he's going to begin to fill the earth. Right? So then God says, let light be. What's light? I don't know, but he created. He just said, and then boom, you have light. And then after light, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he separates the waters from the waters, the Hebrew language says. And that is just, he's creating the atmosphere. He's separating oceans and seas and skies. And he's separating waters from waters. And not only does he do that, he makes Mount Everest, 27,000 feet above sea level elevation. Yeah, God did that. And then you know what else he does? He creates plants and vegetation. He makes trees, palm trees, coconut trees, oaks, ivies. He makes them all. And then what does he begin to do after he makes trees and vegetation? He makes animals, livestock, birds, fish, giraffes, bears, sick 'em. Let's go. He makes it all. And at the end of that, what does he do? He makes you and he makes me. He makes mankind. Let's look at verse 26 or 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I want you to underline that very first part. Let us make man. Underline it, circle it, square it, highlight it, whatever you got to do. God created you. You are created. You are not just a bunch of random atoms that smashed into each other. You were created. You have purpose. You have value. You have infinite worth because you are a creation. Not only are you a creation, but you have a creator. That means he wired you, designed you uniquely, specifically you. That he could have just created you and left you alone, but no, he created you so that he could have a relationship with you. You see, he created you so that you would know him, but he also created you to know you. Your creator is deeply intentional, deeply relational, and wants and desires a relationship with you more than anything. You are his penultimate in creation. You are his greatest delight and joy, more than Mount Everest, more than the bears, more than anything swimming in the sea. He delights in you. So we serve a God who created you. We serve a God who wants to know you. So you, your purpose is to know this God. There's a lot of great movies that came out this summer. Everyone's like, what the heck? Who saw Barbie? Anyone? Okay, a couple people. Great. Oppenheimer. Awesome. The Summer I Turned Pretty, people. Team Conrad, Team Jeremiah, where are we at? All right, guys, don't tell me. I haven't watched the last episode. My wife is over there. We haven't seen it, so don't spoil anything, okay? Team Conrad, Team Jeremiah, shh. Guys, my favorite movie. Probably my favorite movie of all time. You've probably seen it. You've probably heard it. It's called The Lion King. Small movie made in the 90s. Me and my wife were actually watching the live-action one this past weekend. And there was a scene in it where I was like, man, this is just so funny. I forgot this was even in here. But you know Simba. Simba's the son of the king Mufasa. And his uncle Scar kills his father Mufasa and then exiles Simba. So he's lost in the wilderness, this young lion cub. And he almost dies, but two friends, Timon and Pumbaa, Hakuna Matata, anyone? Let's go. Come on. I thought about singing it, but I just didn't want to do that. No, I won't do it. No, stop. I'm losing my thought. So Timon and Pumbaa, they save him. They teach him the way of Hakuna Matata. But as he grows up, he begins to forget who he is. He begins to forget that he's the son of the king, that he's a king's kid. And he bumps into this guy named Rafiki. And Rafiki has to show him in the water, his reflection. And he has to show him in the sky. And he tells him, hey, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You see, Simba had lost his identity, completely forgotten that he was a king's kid. He completely forgot the truest thing about him. And in the same way, man, I would tell you, remember who you are. You see, the enemy wants you to forget, but the Father wants you to remember. The enemy wants you to forget so that you seek to find purpose, affirmation, identity, satisfaction in the things of the world. That you will waste your college years trying to find satisfaction in a place, in a person, where it doesn't exist. You see, purpose isn't something that you need to go search for. It's not something that you need to go on a long journey for. Purpose is a gift that you get to receive. It's a life that you get to lean into. You already have your purpose because you are his creation. You were designed, made to know him, to have everything fully satisfied in knowing him. That there's nothing outside of this world that will add to your life if you truly know your God. Point number one, your purpose is to know God. Point number two, your purpose is to reflect God. Your purpose is to reflect God. Let's look back at the text. It says, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So I want you to underline, circle, highlight, square, whatever you have to do, in his own image. Image, likeness. That word has this connotation of reflection. In the same way that you see your reflection in a mirror, in the same way that you see your reflection in water, what that is signifying, what that is saying is that you are his image bearer. That you show off, reflect the image of God to a watching world. To people who would see you, they would see God. That is the hope in the way that he designed you and created you. That is your purpose. You see, the more time you spend with the faithful one, the more faithful you will become. The more time you spend with him, the more you will begin to look like him. And if you know him, you will begin to show him. If you truly know his heart and his character, what the good God who created you looks like and knows and what his heart would break for, your heart will begin to want and desire and break for the same things. So your purpose is to reflect this God who loves you and adores you and delights in you to this world that desperately needs an image of a good God. You got to track with me. I chugged a Celsius before this, so I don't know what's about to come out of my mouth. This is the way that I think about this, okay? So I watch 15 minutes of TikTok a day to stay relevant. Thank you. And then my phone shuts off. But my wife, she has more TikTok, so I sometimes watch more TikTok. But me and my wife, we have different algorithms. Very different. Mine's about sports, hers about puppies. But here's the deal. I've also observed and noticed there's one thing about my wife's TikTok that has just come up over and over again, and it's this thing called dupes. All the girls laugh because they know what that is. The guys are like, what the heck? Get a wife, watch her TikTok, you'll know what a dupe is. Anyway, so here's the deal. A dupe, no, none of you probably need to be married right now, so I take that back. Come back in 5 weeks when we talk about dating. Anyway, shameless plug. Dupes. If you go to Lululemon, and there's like a shirt or a dress that's like $100, $150. That's like really expensive. No one's paying that. We're broke college kids. Well, you guys are. I have a paycheck. But I still don't buy it anyway. It's a ministry paycheck. It's not much, okay? So here we go. Dupes. If there's a Lululemon shirt that's like $100, you go on Amazon, get that thing for $20. It looks just like it, except it's fake. It's not the real thing. And you can just rock a dupe and trick everybody into thinking that you got drip and swag. So there you go. Do your shopping on Amazon, not at the real places. But the reason I tell you that, the reason I bring that up is because dupes are literally designed to trick people into thinking that you're the real thing. That's what the purpose of a dupe is to trick people into thinking that you have the real thing. That you are the real thing. And you see, this is my story. I wasted my high school years because I wanted to be the good Christian guy. I lived with a mask for 4 years and tried to do good enough or good things or cared more about attendance or activity, and I never truly knew him. And I just wanted people to think that I was the Christian guy. And you see, I think that's the problem with what we're doing right now in America today. I think we've trained a generation to do Christian activities, and we have stopped training and discipling a generation to follow Jesus. We've trained a bunch of people to know how to be Christian when the call is to reflect the Savior. You see, we've watered down this cheap gospel, and we've settled for a cheap and fake alternative. We've settled for a dupe. To look like a Christian, but not to actually follow Jesus and to reflect him. It was what you were made for, to reflect him. And look, I can show it to you. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world,
but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. You see, it's really easy to be conformed to the spiritual culture and the spiritual climate around us, to just do what the other Christians are doing, and not to want to be transformed into the image of the Son. You see, it's really easy to be like, man, I just want to do what everyone else is doing or do all these things and not have the desire to want more of Jesus, to love Jesus more, to look more like Jesus. That is what you were created for, to reflect Jesus, not to look Christian, not to appear Christian, but to deeply love and desire and know your God, your King, and your Savior. It was what you were made for. So point number two, your purpose is to reflect God. And point number three, your purpose is to glorify God. Jumping back in the text, it says, "And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" What I want you to see is that word, subdue it and have dominion over it. Circle it, underline it, highlight whatever you got to do to draw attention to it yourself. This is your purpose. You see, God creates Adam and Eve, and what does he do? He gives them work. After God's done breathing life into their lungs, he gives them work. He invites them into a mission. He gives them more purpose. And you might be asking yourself, what is that work to do? What is the work that he gave them? To make earth a more Eden-like place. To push back against darkness, to fight temptation, to glorify his name, to bring honor and renown to this God and King, this creator of the universe who loves us. The work that we are being invited into is to share with others about him, is to share the good news, is to share the gospel. You see, if you know him and you show him, you will tell others about him. If you know him and you show him, you will tell others about him. That it won't be enough for you to look Christian, but you will want to share this good news, this life-changing, life-altering, eternity-changing reality, that there is good news for people who believe and trust in Jesus. You see, this is the good news, that there is bad news. Bad news is that there is this thing called sin. Sin is anything we say, do, or think that dishonors, displeases God. And you might be like, hey, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. Well, the bad thing about sin is that it has an eternal penalty. That eternal penalty is eternal separation from this loving God. And the only way that we could pay an eternal penalty, it was because there is an eternal price. And you see, no human could pay eternal price, so there had to be an eternal being who would pay that price on our behalf. A perfect God. A chosen one, the Messiah. So God sends his son Jesus, who leaves a throne. He leaves heaven for a manger in the dirt. He becomes human. He takes on flesh, lives a perfect, sinless life that neither of us could live. None of us could live in this room. And then he goes to the cross and dies a brutal and real death that you and I deserve, and was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later walks out of that tomb living and victorious, defeating sin and death in the grave. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting return, because he has authority. And because of that good news, this commission in Genesis 1:28 is fulfilled, that Jesus would subdue the enemy, that he would step on the serpent's head and crush the enemy, defeating him. And he would have dominion over all authority because he alone is God and he alone is worthy. That it's Jesus' name that reigns above it all. That's Jesus' name that is eternal and will live forever. And that we will one day all worship and fall before because of his perfect work on the cross. That is the good news that we have been given, that we get to receive a free gift of salvation through grace by faith. If you want to glorify God with your college years, tell others about him and what he has done for them. If you want to honor God with your college years, tell others about him and what he's done for them. You see, there's this section right here. This is about 500 people. If just this 500 people right here, if you guys, look at me, boom, we're all on this mission together. Not even including those people, there's triple the amount of this 500. But if this 500 people right here, if they decided this year, that in 2023 and 2024, this class school year at Baylor University, that they were going to share the gospel with one person a week, just this 500, share the gospel with one person a week, do you know what would happen? The entire campus would hear the gospel. All 15,000 students who call Baylor home would have heard the gospel at least once. This year alone, we're not talking about all 4 years of college, we're just talking about this 1 year. If this 500 right here decided today that I'm going to share the gospel once a week for this entire year, everyone on this campus would have heard the good news that there is a God who loves them and died for them and paid the ultimate price for them to have an eternal reunion with him in heaven. That he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God and that we might stand before him in eternity in heaven. I mean, you were created to glorify your Father, to glorify God, and to share this good news with those around you. So in summary, your purpose is to know God, your purpose is to reflect God, and your purpose is to glorify God. Man, as I conclude and just finish, man, I think about scrubby freshman Miles. We don't need to pull up the picture, please don't. As I think about that freshman, my fall semester was the worst semester of my college career. Boom, 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 boom. Someone do your homework, send it in. What is it? What's going on? Come on, Luke. Golly. Man, truly. My first semester of college was the worst semester of my college career. And when I came back, I had the best semester of my college career. Because my friends, my one friend, invited me to this thing called Vertical. And I started coming on Monday nights. And through the faithful teaching of God's word and through the gospel, the Lord began to work in my heart. And I was sitting in these same exact seats when I received the gospel for the first time in my life, the true gospel. And everything changed in my life. Everything changed. The way that I pursued Jesus, the way that I confessed sin, lived in community, the way that I went to church and served. Everything changed because of the good news of Jesus Christ. My life had changed. And I'm on this stage not because I know more, not because I'm better. There's no one who's good enough to get into heaven, and there's no one who's bad enough to be kept out. That I'm just here because I'm the chief of all sinners. But I've been saved by grace, and I know a good God who wants to save broken humanity, forgive them of their sins and their trespasses, and be reunited with them. And I want to live my life magnifying and glorifying that God and that King. Let me pray that you would too. Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your grace. Your word tells us that you are a God who is rich in mercy. That while we were dead in our trespasses, not bad so that we could become good, no, we were dead in trespasses. But by your grace, by your mercy, by your love, by your kindness, Father, we can have life. And there is no life outside of you, Father. There's no life outside of relationship with Jesus. Jesus alone is true satisfaction and joy. There's no one better. There's nothing beyond you. So, Father, would you make our hearts believe it? Would you satisfy our hearts in you? Right now, would we just receive the gospel, the goodness and graciousness of our God and King, that you created us to know you and to reflect you and to glorify you in this world. That we were made, created to know this God and to make him known. That is our purpose. Nothing else will do. Jesus, you are enough. And if you are not enough, Father, would you be enough? Father, be exalted, be glorified. Your name is above every name. We pray in your name. Amen.